It's 20 minutes before the top of the hour. In a post-Zuma era and a potential recovery in the economy, there are a good number of quality cheap stocks that one can arguably invest in. And I spoke to Keith McLachlan, who's a fund manager at Alpha Wealth, about some of these South African-focused, slightly cyclical or out of favor, and hopefully have a robust businesses with reasonable valuations that one can get their hands on in the small cap sector.
2017 was obviously a tough year in South Africa, right up until about 15th December. Small cap stocks were down 1% at an index level. And to be fair, you have to include the mid cap index as well within that assessment, and that was barely up. So this is an extension of pretty much this, but the latter half of Zuma years, where the small and mid cap indices had pretty much been flat for the entire period. And 2017 was no different. But what we did see was a material bounce come the 15th, 16th of December, when Cyril Ramaphosa obviously won the ANC. To some degree, that's continued into this year, but it's been overshadowed by some of the global correction in equities.
Right. Based on that, when you start looking at your portfolio, the one that you manage, the fund, how do you make decisions then? Do you look at the economic factors that were affecting 2017, i.e. the Zuma era, or do we also take into consideration individual company performance and some of the data or stats you're getting out of there?
Our stock decisions, our investment decisions are always taken bottom up. We give the greatest weighting towards the businesses and their performances. You know, you need to have a look at the variables that you can control and those that you cannot. And funny enough, contrary to popular belief, the share prices are not what you can control. What you can control is what businesses you are in, at what weightings, and how they have performed. So what we saw within 2017, which was a horrible year for our small cap fund, as it was for the broader small cap market, was we saw two particular misses, and that was on Rolfs and Consolidated Infrastructure Group. Both of them showed the risk of unknown unknowns materializing despite all the research and valuations and modeling you can do. And those risks materialized for different reasons, and they resulted in different actions from our side, but they were definitely disappointing. Excluding those two stocks, I must say, broadly speaking, the rest of our businesses grew earnings. Cash flows were strong. Businesses performed. And even though the share prices derated and were under pressure during this period, we were extremely comfortable with the business level performance.
Were there stocks that surprised you? And, you know, there was a really great story to tell from their side in 2017, and perhaps one or two that didn't do too well. So as a result, you may have had to sell.
So first in mind, there's Consolidated Infrastructure Group. Obviously, it was a massive disappointment for us. And in the latter half of the year, it released a trading update that was weak. Expectedly weak, but what we did not expect was two subsequent trading updates that came out in quick succession that were increasingly worse. That ultimately led to quite a large decline in the share price. And our decision on a qualitative basis was that we could not justify holding the stock, and we exited it. Obviously, we exited it at a loss. But that's the nature of this portion of the market, is that one has to make calls, and you're not always going to get them right. When you are wrong, it is important to acknowledge that, salvage what you can, and move on. And that was CRL. There's many lessons to be learned from CRL. But moving to the other disappointment, Rolfs. Rolfs, we actually had a very different reaction to, because despite accounting adjustments and a management change, what we had was an underlying business or underlying group with cash generative earnings that was well positioned and actually was well managed, You see, the problems that came through in that business were accounting problems, not operational ones. Mm. So what we decided to do was to use that solace and that share price that, although it hurt us, it hurt the fund's performance in the short term and contributed to our underperformance last year, it offered a valuable entry point to accumulate more. And subsequently, we've been quite nicely rewarded. The share prices has re-rated upwards and has what we expect to continue to be a positive trajectory.
When it comes to accounting adjustments, when you see a SENS statement where a company has to relook at, I don't know, previous financial statements, or in certain extreme cases that I think I saw a month ago, where they issue a trading statement and then they have to retract it because there's something wrong with the way they've been calculating cost of sales and all kinds of bizarre things that happen. But they're real. They do happen. Do you get nervous or do you play a wait-and-see approach?
Well, you obviously get nervous. I mean, you're indirectly asking me about Steinhoff, which is the kind of elephant in the room when it comes to accounting adjustments and irregularities or apparent regularities. All of them are always so unique that you have to take it on a case-by-case basis. Mm. But if nothing else, the occurrence of accounting adjustments and accounting errors indicates weak internal controls within a company. Nothing else. Mm. Those controls, once being identified, can be improved, as has happened at Rolls under a new management team. But beyond anything else, it does indicate lower quality, which is not good. But then you need to bear this within the context of accounting, by its very definition, uses assumptions and estimates. Mm-hmm. And those assumptions and estimates can be wrong. And I'll refer in this instance to African Bank. Things like bad debt provisions and provisioning, they're in fact estimations of what's going to happen in the future. Mm. And you're trying to match that with revenues and incomes earned in the present. And it's not a question of how right, well, whether you're right or wrong. It's a question of how wrong you are and how conservative you've been with it. So by definition of there being adjustments, it doesn't necessarily mean doesn't necessarily mean that there are nefarious agendas at play. Mm-hmm. There can sometimes be honest mistakes.
Right. And then came 2018, where we started off the year in a positive mood. And a lot of the times, most people were gravitating towards the banks and the retail sector, you know, riding on this, what has been called the Ramaphosa euphoria, or whatever you want to describe it as. Which sectors then do you go to, or which stocks do you take a look at if you, I suppose, want to benefit from what is currently happening in the economy?
So let's do a process of elimination here. Let's first cut out the rand hedge and foreign stocks.
You're right.
And that eliminates a large portion of the top 40 and some of the bigger mid-cap stocks. And then from there, you're left with the so-called SA Inc. stocks. Mm-hmm. And of those SA Inc. stocks, which ones are overvalued and fundamentals don't align with, and which ones are good? So first of all, the majority of those are smaller mid-caps. So we believe we're playing in the perfect space. It's low valuations, it's cross-economic growth, with forward growth looking better, forward earnings looking better, and all of that wrapped up into a very, very nice investment space, and accommodative macroeconomic picture. Mm. But the sectors that we do think are at risk, that have run very hard following Cyril's victory in the ANC NEC late last year, has been, and you touched on it, the retail sector. So just because Cyril Ramaphosa is president does not mean that me or you necessarily have more money instantly. Mm. Hence, the retail sector is actually still in a tough space. Disposable income hasn't materially lifted. There are what we expect to be weak retail numbers coming out the first half of this year. What Cyril's victory does do, and what us avoiding downgrade does do, though, is it does give confidence for big project decisions, i.e. CapEx spend. So the first thing that we expect to see coming through on a macro basis is, in fact, gross fixed capital formation. And from there, it will trickle down into increased economic growth, and economic growth will translate into higher disposable income. And in fact, the retail stocks and the like are probably going to be a later stage a beneficiary of this cycle, and in fact not an early stage the way that the market has priced it. So what we are looking at is we're looking at alternate places. For example, we're looking in the lower end of the small mid-cap space at stocks like Blue Label Telecoms. That's got a defensive product, highly cash generative, and its Sol C investment is in fact underappreciated. There's other stocks like Adcock Ingram that has got a strong consumer element, defensive products with great brands. If you're feeling riskier, you can even have a look lower down at West Coal as a small coal junior where it was trading on about a 3 or 4 times price earnings.
That's Keith McLachlan, who's a fund manager at Alpha Wealth.